Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, last week you may remember the gospel reading was another parable about plants. It was the parable of the sower, where Jesus says a man went out to sow and he sowed the seed. And remember, it fell on four different types of ground. Some fell on the path, some fell among thorns, some got scorched and eaten by birds, and then some also fell what? In the good soil. Well, this week's reading immediately follows that parable. And so they're kind of connected together, but they talk of very different things. You might think that the seed that fell last week in the good soil and what produced a manifold harvest, that maybe that's the image that Jesus goes and develops and goes into this parable with. They both are good seed. They both fall in good soil. But in today's parable, we kind of have three different time things happening. We have a beginning where the seed is planted. We have kind of the current times where what the weeds are growing and the weed is growing along with it. And then we have the future, the end of the age when Jesus will return. It's all good seed that gets planted in both parables. Although in this parable, some of the terminology is a little different. This is called wheat, or more commonly called wheat. Last week, some fell among the thorns. That's not the word that's used here for weeds. The word that's used here is a word that sometimes in the King James, it was tares. Remember that one? But it's probably a plant called a darnel. And a darnel is a plant that is a deceptive plant. When it first comes up, it looks like wheat. You'll notice in the parable, it kind of says, you know, it came up and they didn't notice it at first. But as it matures, it doesn't produce anything like wheat does. It's a deceptive weed. It's a look-alike. It seems to promise to produce, but it produces nothing. It's worthless. I like to think of it, it's almost like being selfishly deceiving. That's what gets planted in this wheat. Well, the parable, when you take and you first hear it, it's not really about plants and it's not about weeds. It says the kingdom of God can be compared to. It's about the church. It's a parable about Jesus planting the church. That Jesus, when he plants the church, he goes and there, it's all there, and it's innocent and beautiful magnificence. Think back to Pentecost and the early church. There it was. Well, I'm teaching Acts right now in my Bible class. It did not take Satan long to come and plant the weeds. He starts trying to undermine Christ's church right from the beginning. And these deceptive weeds are sown by the enemy of Christ, by the devil. We can take and identify with this because it is our church that he's talking about. It's a reality that we understand and we get. We understand who we're supposed to be as the wheat. That as believers, we're to be people who are here and who are producing and who God is waiting a harvest from us to produce. But then there are unbelievers that are sown into the church also. And that is a reality that we have to deal with. Here we are trying to produce, and here Jesus finds that Satan comes, and he basically does what? He injects invaders. That'd be bad enough if they were just an invasive species. We can understand that in Florida, right? But they're more than that. They're saboteurs. That darnel actually sabotaged the wheat, or tried to. It used the nutrients in the soil. It actually would try to displace roots. It would try to take over. It would take and deceive people to think that everything was going fine when it wasn't. And those weeds within the church have an effect. They have an effect within the church. They cause division. That you have people who are wanting to do what God wants and people who are taking and seeking to do something else. There's a falsehood that comes. How often are people in the church declared to be hypocrites by people? Because they're really not the wheat, they're the weeds. They're not good for the church. But they're also not good for us as its members. They distract us from our mission. To go and make disciples of all nations, to baptize people, to bring people to Jesus Christ. The weeds would have us do everything other than what we're supposed to do. We find that sometimes we have to really struggle and fight for the truth. But then we also sometimes have this conflict in our feelings. What happens when there's division in the church? People you may disagree with theologically, but you hold in your heart in terms of friendship and camaraderie and all these other things, and we have that kind of conflict that comes. But maybe the biggest threat the weeds are to the church and the world. Because when people look at the church, they misrepresent the church as to who it is and why it's here. They misrepresent the church's message. Satan takes and places those weeds among church. I'm not talking just your congregation. This is the church that we talk about in the big C across the world. But also, people see disunity. How many different pictures of what Christianity is and should be are displayed to the world now? How many of them are whose source is the weeds? So what do we do with it? You know, Matthew, in a few chapters, we're going to be recording that Jesus takes and he says, well, when one of you find one of you in your midst who's a sinner, in Matthew 18, he says, this is how you deal with it. But yet here in the parable, what's he say? Leave him alone. Well, that's a head scratcher, isn't it? Which one do we do? Well, he's talking of a bigger picture in the parable. We don't uproot people like they did in the Inquisition or the Crusades or other things like that. We worry about each other individually. But in the big picture, we leave it alone. And we go about the mission that Christ has given us. But when we look at this parable, we have to ask ourselves, well, why would Satan do this to Christ's church? It's because he knows how important the church is. He knows that the mission that we have as the church of Jesus Christ, to bring people to Christ and through him to God and to eternal life, is really, when you look at it, the only absolutely needful mission in this world. And Satan says, I've got to disrupt that. But he also knows how important this church is to Christ's people, to the wheat. Think about it. Why are you here this morning? What is it that brought you to church? Something important was happening here for you. Maybe it was a broken week. Maybe those words of forgiveness are what you really needed today. Maybe it was that healing hand of Christ that comes out and says, I'm here for you. Maybe you were getting hungry, getting tired. It was time to get fed. And so Christ comes in his word. See that Christ that comes is the Christ who comes here to heal and to deal with sinners. In the midst of all of our brokenness, Christ comes. He comes to be here with us in special ways. He comes to spend time with us. And Satan doesn't want that to happen. He wants to give as many people excuses to be somewhere else than where Christ is. For who are we? We are the body of Christ who comes and gathers around him. And he takes care of us. But Satan would come and take the promises and the gifts that he has for us and replace them with lies. That's the parable of the sower. But Jesus says, this is the work of the kingdom. This is my church, he says. This is the place where I go forth and we battle for the lives of people. For their lives right now and for their lives for all eternity. For as the church of Jesus Christ, what we do is important. Who we represent to the world is not ourselves, but the one who saved us. The truth that we proclaim is not our own, but God's. It's why we look to God's word to proclaim what we tell the world, not to what we vote or we think is a majority rule. God forbid there are weeds. But God's word perseveres. We are here not to just take, like that darnel weed did, but we are here as the wheat to produce a harvest. And so we are our Lord's wheat. We are that wheat that is among the tares. And sometimes that's a tough place to grow. But I think in this world, in this time, in this age, we need to be the stronger voice. We need to be the stronger presence than the weeds. When people look at the church and they hear the church and they see the church, they need to see the wheat. And not all the other things that are false. Not all the other deceptions and lies. Because the tares seem in many places to have taken over a lot of wheat fields. Today, the church, the true church, needs to excel. It needs to produce. It needs to be visible. It needs to proclaim to the world a clear voice of Jesus Christ, of truth, and proclaim him as the Savior of the world for all people. It needs to see our works. It needs to see the mission that Christ has given us carried out with a zeal and a love for people and our Lord. And it needs to see our life and our daily living. That is our witness to the truth. It is that witness that separates wheat from tares. We produce something. We have a positive impact on people. So we need to be louder than the weeds. Because this is our time. This time between when Christ established his church until his return is called the time of the church. It's the time that Christ has given us to produce a harvest for him. So life among the weeds can be tough. So it's time to set yourself apart, and it's time to produce. It's time to be wheat. It's time to outgrow the weeds. So what's that mean? We have to be better nourished, better fed in the Word of God. We have to be able to tell the difference between weeds and wheat. For this time of ours of the church will end. Christ tells us that in the parable, that he will return. And then all that is false, all that is evil, all that is wrong will be gathered together and be dealt with by God. But the wheat will not be so much dealt with by God, will be in God's presence forever. It may be tough now, but the day is coming. And until that day, we need to be nourished. We need to grow. We need to be productive. And we need to be people who perceive the presence of Christ. For Christ is coming. He's coming soon. And so the wheat, with all of the people of God, say what? Amen.
Amen.
Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep you who you are, the wheat of Christ in a world of tares, producing a harvest for our Lord until his return. Amen. We now have the offering.